Hey, glad you guys are here today. You know, it's Christmas, right? Lights, trees, decorations, parties, eggnog, shopping, gifts, all the hubbub. And then you've also got family and friends and coworkers. And some of them, sometimes you've got some conflict going, or maybe things have happened in the past that haven't been resolved and so on. And then right in the middle of all that relating to Christmas, there's Jesus, the Son of God, born of virgin birth. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So here we are entering this Christmas season, a time when we're supposed to be celebrating the birth of Christ. But why did Jesus come? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but I think some of the biggest ones are to offer forgiveness, God's forgiveness for all the things that we've done wrong. We've done a lot wrong. But to also offer reconciliation, the ability for us to be able to have a personal relationship with God. And the way God set this thing up is that once we have experienced forgiveness and reconciliation ourselves, we are then not just expected, but we are commanded to offer that same forgiveness and reconciliation to other people. Now, do you remember the Lord's Prayer? A lot of us grew up, you know, different church settings and so forth. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, did you catch that right in the middle of that Lord's Prayer? It says, "Forgive us our sins, just as we forgive those who sin against us." Basically, God, forgive me in the same way that I forgive other people. Now, a lot of us, you know, we've been through some stuff. We've had people hurt us, do wrong things to us, whatever the case might be. And this idea of offering forgiveness to others is a really challenging thing. That can be a really tough spot to be in, a really hard thing to pull off. I mean, it's one thing for us to ask God for his forgiveness. And we're going to talk about that in this series as well. It's another thing for us to be able to forgive ourselves for the things that we've done wrong, the bad things that we've done, the ways that we've hurt other people, you know, and to quit allowing our past and that baggage and so on, to quit being kind of like this anchor around our necks that's keeping us from moving forward with our lives. And a lot of people struggle with that. And we're going to talk about that next Sunday. Please make sure that you're here. And because I want you to experience real freedom through this entire series. So make sure that you're here the next couple Sundays, Christmas Eve. And you know what? There's a whole lot of people you know who desperately need to hear what we're talking about in this series. So be sure to share these videos when they come available on Mondays online. Invite people to come and join you each Sunday. Invite a bunch of people on Christmas Eve and so on, and help them experience some freedom as well. But today what we're going to be talking about is one of the most difficult aspects when it comes to forgiveness. And that is, how in the world do I forgive other people? When I've been hurt, when I've been wronged, when I've been whatever, how do I forgive other people? I mean, God says just like he has forgiven us, we have to forgive other people. But that, my friends, can be really, really tough. Good morning and welcome to Eagle Point. Glad you're here today. That's one of our Christmas traditions, is watching Home Alone along with many other Christmas movies. Elf, yes. In fact, I'm taking the kids this afternoon to the Fox Theater. Evidently, Elf is a musical. Did you know this? I didn't know this. But we're doing that this afternoon. I'm looking forward to that. But hey, we're glad that you're here. Inside your bulletin, a lot of great information. Tim already let you know some of the cool things coming up this month. There's also some notes in there to follow along. Definitely encourage you to take some notes today as we go through this, because this is stuff you're going to not just want to review, but you're going to need to, from time to time in the future, be able to go back and look at this stuff. So I definitely encourage you to do that, okay? We're going to be unpacking the idea of forgiveness in all different aspects of our lives this month, offering that same forgiveness that God has given us to other people in our lives and to ourselves and so on. So I hope that you'll be here for the whole thing. Now, I think one of the reasons why many times we struggle with forgiving other people is that we have some misunderstandings, some misconceptions about what forgiving others really is and what it looks like and so on. And so what I want to do is start off this morning by talking about, or debunking, if you will, some misconceptions that we have, talk about what forgiveness is not, and then we're going to go through and look at a biblical process, if you will, of how do we really forgive others? How do we let that stuff go and really begin to move on with our lives, okay? So first of all, let's talk real quickly about what forgiveness is not. First of all, forgiving others is not justifying their actions. It's not justifying their actions. You know, a lot of times when somebody hurts us, we just want to kind of dismiss it and say, well, yeah, they didn't mean it. They were under a lot of pressure. They had a lot going on at work. They didn't really mean it the way it came across. They were dealing with a bunch of stuff. No. What they did was wrong. Forgiving others is not justifying their actions. It's also not, as I like to call it, trusting in the passage of time. We've all heard the myth that time heals all wounds, right? You do know how ridiculous that is, right? It doesn't. Time doesn't heal anything. Some of you are holding on to stuff that happened 5, 10, 15 years ago, and time has done nothing to erase that stuff. So forgiving others is not trusting in the passage of time. It's also not denying that you're hurt. A lot of times we do that, right? Somebody hurts us, somebody wrongs us, we're like, oh, that didn't bother me, that didn't hurt me. Especially us guys, we tend to be really good at this, right? Because we're men. We're tough, right? That didn't faze me. But a lot of times, you know, sometimes it's big things in our lives. A lot of times it's little wrongs that have happened over time. And a lot of times they're just small things. And I liken it to getting a splinter in your hand. You know, a splinter in your hand's not that big of a deal, but if it goes untreated, it can become infected and harm the whole hand. So forgiving others is not denying that you're hurt. But it's also not confronting that person personally, right? It's not getting in their face and yelling at them and demanding an apology and all those kinds of things. Forgiveness is not seeking revenge. It's not grabbing them by the shirt as much as we would love to do that when other people have wronged us, right? So forgiveness is not any of those things. So what is it? How do we do this thing? How do we pull this off in our lives? I mean, again, we're heading into a Christmas season where we're going to have to be, in many of our cases, spending time with family, people, coworkers, whatever, where there's some stuff there that hasn't been resolved. So how do we go about doing this thing? Well, for that, we need to look at the Bible. Because in the Bible, God has a whole lot to say about this topic of forgiveness. And again, we're going to be looking at a biblical process, if you will. And what I want to challenge you to do today is to personalize this process. To not let this be some abstract intellectual exercise, right? I think it was C.S. Lewis who said, a friend of mine posted this morning. C.S. Lewis once said, you know, everybody agrees that forgiveness is a great idea until we have to put it into practice. Then it doesn't seem like such a great idea. But let's take a look at the Bible today and what God has to say about this idea of forgiveness. Again, let's personalize this process. Don't let it be some abstract intellectual exercise. And what I want you to do is take a moment and think about somebody you just might need to forgive. Somebody who's hurt you, somebody who's wronged you. Again, somebody who you just might need to forgive. Now, I imagine for most of us, it took like that quick to think of who it was. And what I want to challenge you to do is kind of keep them in the front of your mind today as we go through and talk about this stuff, okay? And the first thing that we have to do is remember how much we have been forgiven. We have to remember how much we have been forgiven. This is the starting point. Now, how much has God forgiven you for? He's forgiven me for a lot. I mean, a whole lot, okay? And we need to remember that, how much God has forgiven us. Now, do you remember the parable of the prodigal son? Listen, that's my story. That's your story. We are all that prodigal son, that prodigal daughter, who at one point turned our backs on God, went and did our own thing, right? Blew off God and enjoyed sin for a while. And then when we come back to God, God's standing there waiting with open arms. And many of us know that when we come back to God and we ask for forgiveness, that he forgives completely and freely and repeatedly and all these kinds of things. But we as human beings have this incredible capacity to forget how much we have been forgiven for. I've been doing this pastor church thing for a lot of years, and not everybody, but in a whole lot of cases, it's amazing to me how it seems like the longer people are a Christian, the longer they're in church, the more they forget how much they were forgiven for and have been forgiven for, and the more judgmental they become of other people who in many cases are struggling with the same things this person used to struggle with. We forget many times how much we have been forgiven for. And if we're really going to get serious and start working on this idea of forgiving other people, we first have to remember how much we have been forgiven. Now, this isn't in your notes. You might want to jot this in the margin, but only forgiven people can truly forgive others. Only forgiven people can truly forgive others. So here's what I want you to do next. I want you to take a moment and think about how much you've been forgiven for. Now, many of you know I'm not real big on looking back and digging up the past and digging out the skeletons and that kind of stuff, but I think once in a while in our Christian lives, that's a very healthy thing to do, especially as it relates to what we're talking about today. So I want to challenge you to take a moment. Ask God to help you. Remember, you know, things you've done in the past, things that you've messed up in the past, ways that you've hurt people in the past. And take a moment and remember things that God has forgiven you for. Take a moment and do that. Gotta love that awkward silence, right? Hey, is it coming back to you? Are you starting to remember? Coming back to you how much God has forgiven you for? You still have in the front of your mind that person that maybe, just maybe, you might need to forgive and let some stuff go? Well, let's bring those together and talk about this next thing, which is you gotta release that person and release them entirely. Jesus tells the parable in Matthew chapter 18 of the unforgiving servant. Many of you know this story well. King is owed money by a lot of people. He starts calling them in. It's like, you know, pay, you know, collection day. And he calls in this guy who owes him like millions of dollars. And the king's like, hey, pay up. And the guy's like, but king, I don't have the money. And the king's like, okay, well, I'm going to throw you and your wife and your kids into debtor's prison. Because that's what they did back in those days. Kind of like when you miss a credit card payment today, right? So the king's like, we're throwing you in jail. And the guy's like, please, king, have mercy on me. I'll pay it back. Now, first of all, he's lying, because millions of dollars back in those days would be like the gross national product of a lot of countries today. But check out, notice what the king does. The king has compassion on him. The king has pity on him. And the king forgives his debt and releases him. Now, at this point, you would think the guy would go like bounding out of there just as happy as could be, you know. But he runs into somebody else who owes him like thousands of dollars. And he's like, hey, pay up. And the guy's like, but I don't have it. So this guy who was just forgiven of millions has this guy who owes him thousands, thrown into debtor's prison. Now, as you can imagine, when word gets back to the king is not very happy about this. And here's what goes down in Matthew chapter 18, verses 32 through 35. It says, then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison. Now that's how the story ends, but then Jesus adds this next part, and please grab a hold of this. He says, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters in your heart. Ouch. That's what God will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters in your heart. Now, at this point, let's quit saying maybe. And let me just ask you, do you have somebody that you need to forgive? I would venture you do. I bet from the moment we started talking about forgiveness, it might have been earlier this week when you saw stuff that we're going to be talking about forgiveness, that person popped into your head. You started replaying the video in your mind of how that person hurt you in the past, and just kept replaying that video. Perhaps it was someone who hurt you in some way. Maybe it was an infidelity. Maybe it was somebody who abused you or molested you. Maybe it was somebody who just hurt you, or maybe it was a coworker who betrayed you, a friend who stabbed you in the back. Listen, you need to release that person and release them entirely. Now, what does that mean to release? Well, it means you let them go. It means you let go of your desire for revenge and you let go of that bitterness and that anger and that resentment. It means you let them go. It means you quit playing those tapes, those videos over and over again in your head of what they did to you. Now, don't miss this. Forgiveness is a choice. It is not an emotion. It is a choice. So what does it mean to release somebody? Well, two things. You might want to jot this in the margin. I'm not sure. But it means you're giving up your right to repayment. Because when somebody hurts us, we think they now owe us. They need to make amends. They need to make up for what they did wrong to us, right? But when you're releasing somebody, you're giving up your right to repayment. Secondly, you're giving up your right to revenge. I mean, it's only natural when somebody hurts you that you want to hurt them back, right? But when you release somebody, you're giving up your right to revenge. In fact, Romans 12, 17 through 19 says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Dear friends, never avenge yourself. Leave that to God. For it is written, I will take vengeance. I will repay those who deserve it, says the Lord. Listen, when it comes to this idea of forgiving and releasing, you've only got two options. One is you can release it, let it go, and begin moving on with your life. Or two, you can sit there in your anger, in your grudge, your desire for revenge. You can allow anger and bitterness and resentment to eat you alive from the inside out, because that's what it's doing. And as I talked about earlier this year, we kind of touched on this idea of forgiveness. I told you at that point that, you know what? When you're holding on to anger and bitterness and resentment, it is only hurting you. That other person has moved on. That other person has forgot about it. That anger, bitterness, and resentment is only hurting you. And I think the analogy I used earlier this year was, you know, that anger, bitterness, and resentment is kind of like you eating rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die. It's not going to work. You got to let that thing go and release that person. And the third thing here we have to do is we got to recognize God's purpose in the process. We've got to recognize God's purpose in the process. Now, we really do have to do it in this order. Because if you try doing it in reverse, it just leads to confusion. Because you're never going to recognize God's purpose in all of this and how God is working in all of this until you first release that person. Why? Because as long as you're holding on to that anger and that bitterness and resentment, you are separating yourself from God. And now you can no longer hear him clearly. But when you forgive and you release and you start letting things go, you're opening up the door between you and God. And now you can hear him clearly. Now he can speak to you and teach you. Now he can begin showing you his purpose at work in all of these kinds of things. But that's the way it's got to work. Now, Romans 8:28. Is a very misunderstood verse in the Bible, especially when it comes to this idea of forgiveness. Because a lot of people think that this verse says that all things are good. You hear that a lot in our society today, that all things are, you know, the Bible says all things are good. No, the Bible does not say that. No, this verse does not say that. In fact, let's read out loud together Romans chapter 8, verse 28 here off the screen. God works all things together for good, to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Underline works. God doesn't say all things are good. It says God works all things together for good. Now this verse is really important in understanding God's purpose at work in things. God never says all things are good. That hurt that you've experienced in the past is not good. That betrayal, that abuse, that molestation, that whatever it happens to be is not good. God never says all things are good. In fact, God says that we live in a broken, messed up, sinful, evil world where bad things happen every single day. And if we fail to grab a hold of that, it becomes real tempting to blame God and say, God, why did you make that happen? And God's like, no, I didn't make that happen. That other person did. They have the freedom to choose just like I have given you the freedom to choose. But then God says, here's something kind of cool. Let's release that person. And then once you release them, I can bring good out of that bad situation. And God brings good out of bad situations every single day. And that, my friends, is a miracle. That's what we need to be doing. Now, some of you have been through some really tough stuff. I mean, I get to hear it. I get to hear all the talking to you and phone calls at night and those kinds of things. I'm constantly amazed at some of the situations and difficulties and hurts that some of you have been through. But I promise you that if you will work through this biblical process of forgiveness, God can take something that somebody meant for evil and bring some really, really good things out of it. So you got to look for God's purpose. Now, on this fourth one, I really need you to hear me out before you jump to any judgments on this, okay? Because four here is you reestablish the relationship. You reestablish the relationship. Now, the first three, remembering how much we've been forgiven, releasing the person entirely, recognizing God's purpose, those are mandatory, but step four here is definitely conditional. Because forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. Okay? And there are times when you should not reestablish the relationship. Do not reestablish the relationship if it's only going to cause more harm and more pain. Do not reestablish the relationship if you're looking for an apology. Hello. Don't go there. I mean, a lot of times we have the picture in our minds of how this is going to play out, and that person's going to come to us, and they're going to fall to their knees, and they're going to sob and beg for our forgiveness. Folks, that only happens in the movies, okay? That doesn't happen in real life. So if you're looking for an apology, don't even go there. But if it is possible, if it can happen, then God says do it. But whether you can reestablish the relationship or not, you still have to release that person entirely. And you still have to look for God's purpose. Romans 12:21 says, don't let evil get the best of you, but conquer evil by doing really evil things to that other person. Now, what it says? That's what we wish it says. Because two wrongs always make a right, don't it? Now, let's read together what it says. Do not let evil get the best of you, but conquer evil by doing good. Underline conquer evil by doing good. Underline conquer evil. She was really enjoying church this morning, man. But conquer evil by doing good. Now, what does that mean? Conquer evil by doing good. Well, here's what it means. It means even if you can't reestablish that relationship, you can still act in a good and decent way towards that other person. You can still be a decent human being, a civil adult about the whole situation, right? You can even pray for that person. And I don't mean God's judgment and wrath and stuff on them. I mean pray like, you know. Again, you can change your attitude about that person and just, you know, begin, you know, not necessarily thinking good thoughts, but not thinking evil thoughts about them either, right? Maybe you stop talking about the situation. Maybe you say, you know what, I'm going to let this thing go. I have assassinated this person's character long enough, and it is time for me to let this thing go and move on with my life. You can do that. So here's the reality. You are required to release that person and let them go. But even if you, to a certain degree, reestablish the relationship, you are not required to be best friends. You are not required to hang out together on Saturday nights. The Bible says, do your part to live at peace with everyone as much as possible. And what that means is, and please hear me on what I'm about to say, I'm not talking about abuse or anything of that nature. I'm just talking about an interpersonal conflict that maybe you've got going with somebody. You got to do your part to bring peace to that situation. Again, not be best friends and hang out, but you got to do your part to try to bring peace. I had to put that into practice this week. God oftentimes, I think in God's infinite sense of humor, almost every time I got to get up and teach about something, he makes me put it into practice the week leading up to it. So you go to that person, and you just try to make amends. Again, being a civil adult about the whole thing, right? And be like, yeah, here, you know. Maybe you own up to your part, big, small, whatever, in whatever it is, and you apologize for that piece. But you try to bring some peace to that situation. But then here's the reality. If that person does not want peace, you've done your part. And now they have a problem between them and God that is no longer your problem. You move on. So again, if possible, if it can happen, do it. But if not, then you skip step four and you move on to step five, which is you repeat the process. You repeat the process. Now, have you ever read the back of a shampoo bottle? Wash, rinse, repeat. How often? When do you stop? Right? But you know what? It works a lot the same way with this issue of forgiveness. Listen, you've been thinking about that person that you need to forgive. That's just one person. And unless if you have lived a really sheltered life, there are a whole lot more people in your past that you need to forgive. And even if you go through and forgive everybody in your past, there are going to be a lot of people for the rest of your time here on this earth that you are going to have to forgive. Folks, you are going to be working through this stinking process for as long as you are here on this planet. I hate to break it to you. That's just the way it works. Now, one time the Apostle Peter comes to Jesus. He's like, okay, Lord, how many times do we have to forgive another person? Jewish law says 7. What do you say? And Jesus is like, try 70 times 7. 70 times 7. Now, some of you who are math engineering types are like, okay, 490, got it. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. What he's saying is, how many times do you have to forgive somebody else? How many times do you want God to forgive you? That's the answer. How many times do you want God to forgive you? Folks, there are things I've done wrong repeatedly, so many different things, whatever. And what if I went to God someday and was like, God, please forgive me for my sins. I'm so sorry. Da, da, da. And he's like, oh, 491, you're done. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. You don't do that, okay? Folks, again, this is a process we're going to be going through for the rest of our lives. See, 70 times 7 in God's math is not 490. 70 times 7 in God's math is every single time. Now, let me share with you, in my humble opinion, what is probably the most scariest verse in all of the Bible, okay? And I want us to read this out loud together, kind of slowly, so it really soaks in. Okay, let's read this together. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Okay, we got that? We forgive, God forgives us, right? Let's read this next part. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive. Ouch. If we don't forgive, we don't get forgiveness. That's tough. But listen, you've got a choice to make today. On one side of the equation, folks, you can choose anger and grudges. You can choose to hold on to your desire for revenge. You can choose to let anger and bitterness and resentment just run wild in your heart. But you should know if you choose that path, it's going to manifest itself in some amazingly unhealthy ways. It's going to manifest itself in high blood pressure and just a negative attitude and sleeplessness and isolation and depression and all these kinds of things. You can choose that. God's not going to stop you. Or you can choose to release and forgive. And you can experience real freedom. And you can find peace with God and with others. You can find health and joy and love. You can experience life at a whole different level. Because that's really when you choose to forgive, you're saying, God, take me to a higher level of living. God, help me become more and more like you. So as we enter this Christmas season, a time when many of us are going to have to be around some people who've hurt us, some people who've wronged us. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
We're all messed up here at Eagle Point. It's all good. So as we head into this Christmas season, a time when we're going to have to be around some people who've hurt us and wronged us, some people that maybe we need to bring some peace to that thing between us. As we're in this season where we're ending one year and getting ready to start a whole new year, I want to challenge you today, man, to choose freedom, to choose to forgive, to choose to release, to choose to let it go and finally start moving on with your life. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and loving to each other and forgive others just as God forgave you in Christ. Now do me a favor, don't pack up just yet. You need to hear this last piece and you don't need to be a distraction to people around you, okay? But here's our next step for today. This is what I want you to start working on today and this week to put into practice what we're talking about today. That is work at forgiving others, and it is work, folks. Work at forgiving others and letting go of the things that others have done to us. Now, I believe that the real mark of forgiveness is when we can pray for somebody and we can tell God that we've forgiven them. And if you want to experience that kind of freedom today, I'm going to challenge you as we end today to just repeat quietly after me a prayer. And listen, I don't think there's anybody in this room today, including myself, who doesn't have at least one person we need to forgive. So I want to challenge all of you to pray this prayer today. And if prayer goes something like this, let's bow our heads and just maybe you repeat this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for how much you have forgiven me. And today, God, I am forgiving. And you just say that person's name, just quietly to yourself. Today, God, I am forgiving, and you say that person's name. And then add this, pray, and I am forgiving them for, and you tell God what it is you're forgiving them for. Now, yes, God already knows, but there is definitely something about saying it and releasing that person. So today, God, I'm forgiving, name the person, and I'm forgiving them for, and you tell God what it is. And then maybe you keep praying this. God, show me the actions that I need to take so that I can forgive, so I can let this thing go, so I can give it to you, and I can begin moving on with my life. Thank you again for how much you have forgiven me. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you prayed that today. And let me just add this, one last thought. We said repeat the process. You know what? Sometimes you got to repeat this process about the same person and the exact same issue. Many times. Sometimes that pain, that hurt, that wrong, whatever was done is so great that here's what's going to happen. You're going to find yourself getting filled with anger and bitterness and resentment. And initially, it might be several times a day. You're having to pray, God, I'm letting this thing go. God, I forgive this person. God, I'm giving it to you. Help me know what to do. And then over time, it'll become a couple times a day. And over time, it might be once a day. And over time, it might be every couple days. And then every couple weeks. And then again, same person, exact same issue, about the time you think you've got it all covered, you're done, you're beyond this thing, 3 months have gone by, and all of a sudden, wham, it tries rearing its ugly head again. And again, you're going to be praying, God, I forgive this person, I'm letting this thing go, I'm giving it to you, show me what I need to do. So just know and don't beat yourself up over that this is a process, okay? Let me just also remind you that we are doing our Serve the World offering, which is we're about to have our offering time right now, and this is a special above and beyond. Please don't take away from your normal support of our church, but to give towards our local and global mission work for 2016. We've also got our angel tree stocked with a bunch of ornaments that Tim Roman already told you about. Be sure to grab some of those on your way out, and also make sure that you're here next Sunday as we talk about forgiving ourselves and letting go of baggage and the emotional stuff and everything else that maybe we're carrying with us and moving on with our life in that way as well. And again, there's a lot of people you know that need to hear that, so I hope you'll bring some people with you next Sunday. But right now, we're going to ask our ushers to come forward. Please drop in your financial support of God's work and ministries and mission work here. Drop that connection card in those baskets as well. And thank you for being here today. Ushers.